Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy kindness and Thy mercy in showing us the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Thou hast revealed to the children of men Thy plan and purpose in Christ Jesus. We're prepared to think that Thou hast far more in mind than we would ever imagine. We pray that Thou wilt help us to see more and understand more of the things of Christ. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. In our study of the Gospel according to Matthew, we now come to the 11th chapter. And in the first 6 verses, we come to a very famous passage, one that's widely known and has a popular interpretation that I'm going to give you something different. So when you're listening, I want you to listen very closely to what I want to say about this. The popular interpretation is that John the Baptist, when he had been in prison for a while, began to doubt the Lord Jesus Christ and sent word to ask whether or not he had made a mistake. Now I want you to look at the story. It's all here, and I don't have anything more to go on than other people. We have these first 6 verses in the 11th chapter of Matthew. We can look at them and study them, but let's see exactly what is said. It came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent 2 of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Go and tell John that. Now let's look at this. Look at that second verse. When John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, that's what prompted this inquiry. This doesn't at all say when he was suffering and when he was downhearted. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say when John was having such a bad time in prison, he just began to feel uneasy and got faint. It doesn't say that. It says when he heard the works of Christ. And this is not, it wasn't when he heard of Christ's failures. It wasn't when he heard of Christ's rejections. It wasn't when he heard that people turned away from him. It wasn't when he heard somebody bring in a report that the Lord Jesus was ineffective and ineffectual, he began to doubt. Look at it again. When he heard the works, and the works were glorious. We've been thinking about them. In reading in chapters 8 and 9, we've been talking about them. The healing of the leper, the healing of the palsied man, the opening of the eyes of the blind, the stilling of the waves in the sea, so the storm was brought to an end. My, what majestic things, marvelous things. This is what John heard in prison, and this is what prompted the question. Let's take the scriptures as they read. And I'm going to say to you now, folks, in all your reading of the Bible, you won't get one glimmer of an idea that John ever had his faith weakened. What did John ever say that he was going to lose his faith about? Did he not say that Christ would come? Did he not say that he wasn't Christ, but that Christ coming after him would be greater than he? All right. Then what else did he say? When he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he said about him, Behold the Lamb of God. And what does that mean? That means, behold the one who is going to carry away the sins of the world. How? By dying. Behold the one that's going to die for sinners. All right. John the Baptist himself is put in prison. Wouldn't he expect that? Wouldn't John the Baptist have enough sense to know that the servant is not greater than his master? Think about it. John the Baptist wasn't surprised when he was put in prison. He was preaching about the coming of one who would die. Behold the Lamb of God. Much lesser men than John the Baptist have been in prison without being hurt. And John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth. Now let me offer you something else to think about. John the Baptist knew the Old Testament promises. The Old Testament promises were that God would send the Messiah, his chosen one, and said two things about him. He said that the Messiah would suffer, as you read in the 51st chapter of Isaiah, and he would suffer unto death, that the Messiah, the chosen one, would actually give his life for his people. Then also the Old Testament scripture said that the Messiah would rule. He would function as a ruling person. He would be a governor. He would be a king of kings, Almighty God, Counselor, the Mighty Father, the Prince of Peace. All these things would be said about him. Now, many of the Old Testament scholars in those days, noticing these two things, thought that there would be two messiahs. One would come like the lamb, and he would be the servant and would die. One would come like the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he would be the king, and he would rule on the throne. It was difficult for them to see how the same person could die and rule. Now Peter, and you'll find this in 1 Peter, in the first chapter, verses 10 to 12. And those of you who are Bible students or Sunday school teachers, or if you want to make a note of it, make sure you get this passage in your mind. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 10 to 12. And you'll find that Peter says in so many words that the prophets in old time searched in themselves diligently what time or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that was to follow. They never could figure that out. How could one suffer and suffer unto death like a sacrifice and rule and reign in glory like the King of Kings and the Lord of all? Now there was one truth that the Old Testament people did not see so clearly. It was there, but they didn't see it so clearly, which was brought out clearly in the Lord Jesus Christ, is the truth of the resurrection. The one thing that was the symbol, the sign of the kingdom of God, the resurrection. When John, in the revelation of Jesus Christ to John, in vision, saw into heaven, he saw the throne. And on the throne he saw the Lamb as it had been slain. The Lamb that was slain sitting on the throne. That's what the Old Testament prophets had never seen so clearly. The Lamb that was slain, the Lamb of God, sitting on the throne, ruling in glory, because he was raised from the dead. He was dead and is alive and liveth forevermore, it says, in the book of Revelation. Now listen to John's question. When he had heard the works of Christ, the powerful things that Jesus Christ was doing, he sent two of his disciples to ask, "Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" Not, "Art thou he that should have come? And did we make a mistake?" But, "Are you the one that's coming? The one that's coming to rule? Are you the coming king? Or is there another one that's going to be the coming king?" You see, personally, I think that so far as John the Baptist is concerned, he had no question about Jesus of Nazareth being the Lamb of God. But you see, the Lord, when he heard the works of Christ, the Lamb, would the Lamb be setting the lame man free of his limbs? Would the Lamb be opening the eyes of the blind? Would the Lamb be setting the man free from the power of Satan? Would the Lamb be raising the dead? Those were the things that in the Old Testament were associated with the king. You see, there were certain ways you'd know the king. He'd open the eyes of the blind. He'd make the lame to walk. He would cause the lame to jump and run. He would make the desert blossom like the rose. And he would have the gospel preached to the poor. That was the thing. All those promises were made in the Old Testament. And they were made about the king. Well, now here is this one whom John the Baptist saw as the Lamb of God and identified as the Lamb of God, the one who was going to suffer unto death. Here he is doing these things. So he sends word. By any chance, are you the king? Are you the one that's coming to rule? Or is there another one coming to rule? Now, how did the Lord Jesus Christ answer? And again, I don't want to make too much of this, but I want you to say one thing, and you notice it for yourself. He didn't say, now you tell John to just hang on. You tell John just to be reassured that everything he believed was all right. He doesn't make any inference in what he says that John's faith is weak. Listen to what he says. Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. And he tells you what they are. In verse 5, he outlines them. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. That's Old Testament prediction of the coming of the king. You go back to John and just say, this is what's happening, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And what would that mean? I'll tell you what it would mean. I think it would mean that John would quietly and gladly and joyfully rejoice. He's the king, too. That's what I think would happen. I don't think John was the kind of man that was going to be terribly upset at the prospect of death. When men get close to the Lord Jesus Christ, they understand about death. You pass through it. It's a dark corridor, but it's not a hole in the ground. It's more like a tunnel. The other end's open. And you pass through death into the very presence of God. Death isn't the end of anything but this life. And it's the beginning of another. It's passing out of darkness into light. It's going from night into day. No, a man that knew God wouldn't be afraid of death. But he was interested. Interested to know whether Jesus of Nazareth was really the king. And that's what he was. And I think that so far as John is concerned, that he was able to die, if I may use this phrase, patting his foot. You know what? The very one he introduced was not only the Lamb of God, but he was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Try that in your mind when you think on these things. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to us. Strengthen our faith to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of all. For his name's sake we ask it. Amen.